This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi folks, it's Rebecca here and you're listening to the Find Your Bliss show. I am so excited today to be introducing you to the wonderful Stephanie Lane. I have described Stephanie before as a marketing messaging magician, and Stephanie's actually an intuitive coach and she specializes in marketing and helping people craft their message so it really lands with their clients and their tribe. She's actually a world traveler and a San Diego native, so we actually pre-recorded this show because of the time difference. She has a beautiful, radiant energy and an infectious drive for greatness, and Steph's really made a name for herself as a forward thinker and leader in the San Diego area and amongst the entrepreneur community. So she's actually worked with international brands such as Cashy, Sony, Shape Magazine, Remington, and Hennessy. Her background's actually in television production, which she did for 2 years, and online marketing. She's done Kickstarter campaigns, and she's led groups of over 200 women in leadership. She's also a recovering jack of all trades and understands the importance of knowing her niche and speciality, and to help you with that too. Her zone of genius is coaching women, business owners, to unlock their magic so they can unlock their message, which is so important, right, in regards to that landing for your clients. So Steph definitely has one foot in the spiritual world and the other on earth, just like myself. And she's also a Scorpio, which I think is super important too, right, in regards to the drive and ambition that it takes to step out and to do this kind of work. So she combines her spirit and strategy to show her clients that all their desires are possible, and obtaining with proper planning, energy, vision, and manifestation that anything is available to you. The other thing that I really love about Stephanie, she's worked with thousands of people to really help them in their journey in regards to crafting a message that really lands from a heart-centered place. So I'm delighted to bring you guys this interview today. Enjoy. Stephanie is what I have described as a marketing message magician, you know, which is really funny, actually, Stephanie, because, you know, you told me that one of your archetypes is magician/ruler. So I'm delighted to have Stephanie with us, and she's going to share some of her pearls of wisdom. So Stephanie has got an amazing background. Like, you have done everything, girlfriend. Like, you have, you've obviously in television production, you've obviously had a long career in regards to helping other people in their businesses with their marketing, and some really amazing names, etc. So maybe you can start off with just telling us some information in regards to your journey, where you started from and where you have ended up.
Sure. Yeah, I've actually had an interesting, which most of us do, we do have an interesting start in any business venture. I went to school, went to San Diego State, and I was studying communication. I really didn't really know what I was going to do with that degree. Like most people, you don't know what you're going to do with your degree. And I knew what I liked, but I didn't really, wasn't able to articulate how, what I did and what I did special. I knew I was really good at a lot of things, but I just didn't know how to articulate it. And that was like the frustrating thing. So of course now here I am, and I'm like a messaging, I call myself a messaging queen, because I'm all about like how you show up and where you shine. And my past, I was a production coordinator for commercials. So I worked in the television commercial world for about 2 years, and I loved it. It was exhilarating. I got to go to LA. I got to be on set. It was just so much moving parts, but wow. And it's exhausting being on your feet for 16 hours a day. It's just not, for 2 weeks straight, was just not cutting it anymore. So from video product, television production, I went into field marketing and worked with really big brands like Kashi and Kind and Belvedere. And it was awesome and great. But with big brands, there's so much red tape and I just didn't feel like I could grow. And then what better yet to be like, fine, I'm going to start my own business. That's kind of how it started.
Because you you say that you're a recovering jack of all trades and you understand the importance of niche and speciality. And that's one thing I absolutely love about what you do. You're so clear in your message with your peeps in regards to cultivating and finding their amazing tribe, right, their community.
Yes, I've definitely been the jack of all trades for way too long. I'm sure some of your listeners can relate. You know, it's like you learn QuickBooks and you learn how to film a video and do artwork. Like you end up spreading yourself way too thin and you end up just being mediocre at everything. Mm-hmm. And so really niching down, because the reason you want to niche down is you want to be a specialist. Mm-hmm. And when you become a specialist, like think about it, like when you go to the doctor, like you have your general practitioner and then you have a specialist. If you have a specific problem, like an ear thing, you want to go to an ear doctor, you know?
That would help.
So that's where you want to be. And they can command better prices, right? Mm-hmm. They're more of an authority. So just think of it as like a doctor, like you want to be a specialist. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you want to help people, but how do you want to help people? And what's your framework?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that too, because, you know, that jack of all trades, it can be exciting, but it also can be exhausting. And because, you know, I know you know, did you ever suffer burnout from that? Because your energy is kind of all over the place, right? You're trying to help all the people all the time with all the stuff, as opposed to going, no, this is my zone of genius.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like at one time I was a yoga teacher, I was trying to do marketing. I worked field and marketing and management. And then I had like all these clubs and it was just, I was busy, and I call it busy, broke, and burnout.
Yeah.
That was the three B's that you don't want to be. And it's true. Like when you end up being really busy, you end up just burning yourself out and then there's no impact and you just kind of feel like essentially like a failure at the end of the day.
Yeah. And that's so important though too. I mean, I know people would love to avoid that stuff, but I think it's so important sometimes to have those moments where you're like, this is not working and I need to do something differently. Because that sounded like that was your breakthrough moment in regards to having everything change for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You get to that point where you're just like, enough is enough. I'm tired of everyone coming up to me and being like, I think you do this, right?
Yeah.
Where it's more like, no, I don't do this. And mm-hmm. that's that boundary and drawing the line in the sand and being like, this is what I'm a specialist in.
Cool. So I know this sounds like a silly question, but I think it's really important that, again, just bear with me a little bit, but what is a marketing message? Because I know a lot of people who are in business and they have a general idea of what marketing is. But when it comes to their marketing message, like, what is it? Yeah, could you explain that for us a little bit more, kind of unpack it so we can have some more clarity around that? Because I don't think necessarily, again, when you're in business, there's multiple things to focus on, right? But tell us why, what a marketing message is and why it's so important.
Yeah, of course. So a marketing message is interesting because you don't really hear about it and they don't really talk about it in many of the business courses and whatnot. I think it's more implied. And that's the frustrating part, is that nobody really puts a big emphasis on it. They think that they need to focus on branding, their photo shoot, their website. Like I always hear so many new entrepreneurs go, I need someone to help me build my website. It's like, no, simply put it, your marketing message is what you say to your audience about what you're selling them on what you do. But then you can even take it further. It's the problem this definition doesn't clearly identify what most marketers are missing. So what they're missing is, we're all marketers, right? Is your marketing message is the influence and the emotion that you give to your audience of like how you can help them. And it's important to be crafted with care. So I like to give an example, like I love Tom's Shoes. And Tom's Shoes are like buy one, get one, right? If mm-hmm. Do you guys have Tom's Shoes in
New Zealand? I know the brand in America, but we don't have them here, but to my knowledge.
Okay. So they're the shoes that when you buy one pair of shoes, they give a mm-hmm. pair to a kids in need in a country that are usually a poor country. So the marketing message is, if you buy our shoes, we'll go ahead and take care of another child in need. And so it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're philanthropic and you're helping the community. And it just makes you all, it's an overall good feel brand, good feel message.
Yeah, because you buy it and then you're like, ooh, I've done my good deed for the day. You know, it's an innate feeling that you take home with you. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to create with your own clients, right?
Exactly. So yeah. It's that message. So the marketing message is like the emotion. And because most people we know, well, everybody, is they're not really response. They don't really respond to logic that much. Like logic is great and all that, but we're really emotional human beings. So if you can draw in that message that draws into people's emotions and you focus on them rather than you. So a lot of products will say like, buy our detergent. It's the best detergent, right? Yeah. Like nobody cares about that you're the best detergent. Yeah. It could be like, they could shift it and be like, our detergent will get your cat smell out or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, our detergent will get your cat smell out. So then you will attract a new love into your life or something. So maybe they're attracting females, single females for that specific detergent. And I'm just totally making up this example on the fly, but it's a lot stronger where somebody that identifies as a single female will be like, oh, I need to get that detergent so I can get my cats off my clothes.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and again, to, I guess, because, you know, because of course, too, you know, the emotion for me, obviously, as the intuitive coach comes back to that heart space, the energy of love, being in the environment where, because at the end of the day, people are motivated by moving away from pain and towards pleasure. Mm-hmm. So if we can demonstrate that what we are wanting to help them with is going to bring more pleasure to their life, for example, then absolutely. But I love what you say, too, that it needs to be crafted with care, because it feels mm-hmm. like to me, as you said, that there's a real... there's a deeper understanding of why you're doing it, right? Why mm-hmm. you need to take the time to craft the message with care. Because I think that's what people forget in their businesses often a lot of times, especially if it's doing work like we do, right, which is kind of on a soul level with people, is to be in that space where we're understanding the deeper motivation, like why we're choosing to do what we do, whether that's good or bad. But when people are in business for themselves, to remember, especially if it's a purpose or a passion, is you're doing it usually because you care about other people. But understanding that and appreciating that and acknowledging that and crafting that so that really lands with their clients, that's, you know, that's really spectacular. Just bring, even the words, you know, bring in a different element for me. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Words. I mean, words have a different energy to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we spend enough time looking at what the words mean. So like meaning like going to thesaurus and dictionary.com, like really just basic stuff to be like, what does this word mean? And what is the energy behind it? Like intuitive, like there's so many interpretations for it, but yeah. What does intuitive mean to you? And what mm-hmm. does intuitive mean to your customer?
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. And even speaking to that directly, you know, even if you break down the word, you know, intuition, right? So going inwards. But again, you know, again, it's all about helping it land with your clients. But you talk
exactly.
about there's a couple of different ways to unlock your message. Can you give us some more information? Like, what if you had somebody in front of you right now and they're like, you know, I'm struggling getting my message across, what would you be starting to ask them?
Yeah. So this one is actually the number one tip that I have right now for unlocking your, you know, unique message, your marketing message, is having a personality. Because I think in school we're told to really just fit in, everybody wear the same clothes, the same shoes and everything. And it was just like we didn't see that personality was a huge asset, especially in a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you have to have an extroverted personality. Like if you want to be like, have a dry sense of humor, if you want to be quiet, if you want to be an avocado lover, like that's okay. That's great stuff because your personality is going to resonate with other people. And I live in a very entrepreneur town. And I will tell you this, it's a very hot, I live in San Diego. So like there's mm-hmm. tons of entrepreneurs here, which is so fabulous and wonderful. But you don't know how many people I meet in person that have basically are wet blankets. But then when I see them online, when I see them online, their personalities are like vibrant and alive. Granted, they could be, you know, having a bad day or something. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure. That's gracious of you.
But most of the time they have like no personality in person. So I really want people to have that personality, that authenticity on screen and off screen. Like, you know, you are your business, you are your brand. If you're kooky, if you're weird, if you love pit bulls, like get really specific on things. But the thing, the way that I tell people how to unlock their personality is do things you love, like honestly, just do things you love. And my number one thing is I tell people identify what you hate and you dislike. Mm-hmm. If you are able to identify what you don't care for, you don't stand for, and you stay there and you hold that, and people are going to, you know, maybe judge you for it. Actually, they will judge you for it. Then that is how you're going to be able to hold your personality stronger.
Why do you think that people hold back on that?
It's risky.
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerability is risky.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. That can be
scary.
I mean,
I've had people not like me because of my personality. And that's something that you just have to accept, that people are just not going to like you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. But that's also the most important part, isn't it, is to be able to express ourselves and to do it freely. Because again, mm-hmm. you know, I talk a lot about this in my work, right, about the social conventions that we have that hold us in place, that prevent us from really showing others who we really are and making mm-hmm. it safe to make the connection. Because, you know, when you do your funny dance with your eating avocado and wearing your funny hat, you know, that gives me the opportunity to show you my tap dancing violin skills and singing when I can't sing skills, you know, like to open up to that place of creativity and playfulness. Because
mm-hmm.
we, you know,
exactly.
I love to sing, but I'm not good at it.
And if you're not playful and you're a serious person, then
yeah.
show that too.
Yeah, and that's totally okay too, right? Because again, you will attract your tribe. That's really, mm-hmm. really powerful information. Because a lot of people probably wouldn't necessarily think to look there when it comes to marketing, right? Because often, you know, if people start talking to marketing to me, I start getting nervous and feeling like it's going to be tricky or it's going to be in a headspace. You know, we have to look at this from the rational mind, like, you know, because there's so many offers out there, right? Like, do this, or this strategy is going to get you more clients. And again, you really want to go into that space where it's more soul-based, more heartfelt, more emotional to mm-hmm. be able to get the response and to do it from a place of integrity rather than, you know, because it's way more beneficial, right, to have that tribe of loving people who follow you. So that's really, really powerful. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, you said as well that your personality can change.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It can change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like think about like when we've all had friends, or maybe it was us, that like dated a different guy and mm-hmm. then they change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure that's happening. I always laugh
when
like.
Of course. Everybody's
when
done
when
that.
When you see some girl dating some guy, or it's you dating somebody, and like you start to adapt their habits mm-hmm. and their values.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You lose yourself
but
a bit.
Your personality can change. So I was very, very shy. Like, I'm not trying to play the whole like, I was shy and introverted, but I was really shy. Very private person mm-hmm. and quiet. And I really had to, I remember at 16, I was making that conscious decision that, hey, I want to be more out there. I want to put myself out there more. I want to be comfortable with being seen. So it was the decision that I made at 16 to work on it and to constantly work on it so I could change my personality, because my values changed. And when my values change, that's when the personality changes.
Yeah. Yeah. In regards to, again, what it is that you value. Because again, oftentimes when I've heard that, and you know, what are your values? It's kind of like, well, what do you place value in? So I thought this was fascinating too. Tell me about unlocking your personality. One of the ways to do that is to become a better listener.
Yes. Yes. To become a better listener. Okay. I had a friend, maybe this was like 4 or 5 years ago, and we were all sitting around a circle like people do.
Yeah.
And we were sitting around a circle, and I remember she was being very vulnerable, and she was crying and she was sharing something. And then at the end, I had said something not really validating the emotion that she had just gone through. And I remember her face completely turned white, and she's a very intuitive person. And afterwards she said, you know, you didn't let me show up as myself and you didn't listen to me, and you have to be a better listener. And that was the first time anyone has ever given me that feedback, to be a better listener. And so raw. So I was like, okay, being a better listener actually makes me connect better with my audience, connect better with my personality, because you can pick up certain things when people say things to you that you can connect with them on a different level. So if your customer's talking to you and they're saying, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm just doing all the things, all the strategies, and I don't know where to stop or where to start, you could pick that up and be like, okay, I have had this happen before. I try to do all the things. I was, you know, the yoga teacher, marketing strategist, working for all these brands, running around San Diego. So you can be able to pick that up by listening to their emotional triggers or their concerns or challenges.
Yeah, which is really important for unlocking the personality too, because if we're feeling fearful, it's going to be more difficult, especially I talk about this in the respect of externalizing your energy. If you're going out there, you know, you lose your power because you need to bring it back to yourself to go, okay, well, what am I going to do, rather than what do I think other people want? But that's the bit of the dance when it comes to marketing, isn't it, right? Because we want it to land with people, but at the same time, we want to be expressing ourselves from a place of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly. Awesome. I love that your friend called you out on that. She's a good friend.
I know, she is a good friend. She definitely called me out on that. And I was like, oh
wow.
If you become a better listener, you can actually become, obviously improve your personality, because you can find commonalities with other people, and then finding commonalities with your audience. Obviously, that's why they want to be part with you, because they see something in you that they want to emulate, and vice versa. And you see something in them that you used to struggle with, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You talked a little in one of your YouTube videos that I was watching about the value of criticism. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, which, you know, and sometimes when we're first starting in our businesses as well, it can be like, oh, you know, you feel fearful of receiving criticism. But you had a really great reframe for that. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, that's something I'm always, you know, working on, is being okay with feedback. And because I always, you know, most of us, we just want to be seen perfect and as the quote unquote good girl and having everything all together. But when I was able to be open to feedback, I was able to create things from a more wholehearted space. And I know that sounds very markety, but like when my clients were like, hey, I love the way you did this, but I liked this better, then I come from a better place of service because I was really listening to them.
Yeah, and being willing to hear that, and because it's one thing to hear it and then another thing to kind of take it on board and embody it and choose to upgrade and, mm-hmm. yeah, to be able to deliver that specialist result. Right?
Yeah,
I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so there was one other thing that I really liked the idea of too, that you talk about unlocking the personality, and that was really being bold about what it is that you believe in.
Yes, so being bold is something that I am definitely striving towards, and I think everyone should strive towards. But the thing is, we sometimes don't know what we need to be bold with. And in the U.S. right now, there's a lot of political stuff that you can definitely be bold with. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend to do it in your first one to two years, mm-hmm. but a lot of people are starting to take stand with their businesses, and you're seeing really a divide, but then also an increase in sales. Like a couple years ago, Chick-fil-A was against same-sex marriage, and Chick-fil-A is a restaurant mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. the United States, yeah. and it does like hamburgers and not hamburgers.
Chicken sandwiches.
And then people were like, it was blowing up because people were going and buying because they stand for something. They were bold. But I definitely don't want new entrepreneurs to think that they have to go, unless that's totally something you want to do, mm-hmm. then go ahead and do it. But what I meant by being bold is by changing your languaging from ings to concrete present tenses. So instead of I'm thinking, I'm feeling, more like I think, mm-hmm. or eliminating I think to I know, I feel, I see, mm-hmm. I hear. Mm-hmm. The ings are very passive language. So if you can eliminate the ings from your copy, from the way you speak, I did learn that in yoga. So when I was a yoga teacher, it would be like, inhale, reach your right leg forward, and exhale. No, it'd be like, inhale, reaching your right leg forward, exhale, stepping it forward. You know, like the ing, mm-hmm. it would be very passive, where mm-hmm. it would be like, reach your right leg forward, step it forward. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See how it's a little yeah. bit more direct language?
Yeah. That's awesome, yeah. though. That's a great tip, and it's so powerful.
It's so powerful. If you can, a lot of women, we use the ing, like, I was thinking, I was feeling, mm-hmm. You know, or just, or could you, would you? It's like, no. Eliminating that from your languaging, eliminating that from your copy, from the way you speak, and it will really help you show up as a leader.
Yeah, it's that's an amazing tip. I mean, it's something really simple, but it's really, really powerful. I love that. And it's mm-hmm. so true, because the ing sounds like you're asking for permission.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I'm not quite sure. Excuse me. I'm not quite sure. So I'm just going to run it past you and see what you think. You know, it sounds a little bit disempowering. You're right. Passive. Awesome. Okay. So tell me about brand archetypes. Because, of course, we talked about, you know, I introduced you essentially as the marketing message magician. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've got a lot of juice around this. So share with us about that.
Yeah. So the way that I used to do this was like, you know, reinvent the wheel. I would, you know, try to unlock your marketing message by really, which I totally am for, like really get to knowing yourself, getting to know your values, doing your ideal customer avatar, all that stuff that we have to do as business owners. But there's a shortcut now, which is even better. And it's by identifying your brand archetype. And by once you identify, I'm not a branding expert. My husband is a branding expert. So that's why I geek out on branding, but I don't consider myself an expert. I'm an expert in the marketing and the words and the connection. Mm-hmm. And the way you can kind of bypass all that, not bypass, but like be able to expedite you getting to know what your message is by going to this brand type Google Doc, which I'll have Rebecca link to.
Sure.
And you read through it and you see which one you most identify with. You read the message and the motto, mantra per se. And you see if you identify with that, that is your messaging framework, so you can stay connected with it. So mine is the magician and the ruler. The magician is all about, I can do it, you can do it too, right? Mm-hmm, I can show mm-hmm. you the way. If you think of a magician, right, they show you that magic's possible, that magic's you can create anything you desire. So then I can use that messaging like in all my copy. You can create anything you desire.
Yeah.
Believe in magic. It's possible. And I think I'm assuming, Rebecca, you have a little magician in you too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that word, magic.
Magic, yeah.
So you could be magic?
Like, what unfolds, what creates? So you just read through that document, and then that gives you confidence to go and a frame. And basically, like, I think of like a little section that you could be like, okay, I can really own this message, and then I can make it my own.
Awesome. Yeah. And again, you know, sometimes we just need a little bit of a prompt or a little bit of a framework. And, you know, that can be really comforting when we're first starting out, because often I know that I felt that when I was first starting. I was like, there's no parameters. You know, there's no guidebook that says do this, do this. You have to figure it out for yourself. And if you can get your messaging dialed in as quick as possible, because that's going to completely translate to your bottom line. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's really generous of you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Most women in the very beginning, they say things like, which is fine, I've done it, I just want to help people, yeah. or I just want to empower women. Like, you hear that one a
yeah.
lot. And it's like, okay, great, but what do you want to do? How do you do it? What makes you special? What mm-hmm. separates you from the competitors? How do you do it? Are you low cost? Are you high cost? Like mm-hmm. things like that, that you have to be able to articulate it in your messaging. And people will get it on a conscious and subconscious level within like a 30 seconds, honestly,
yes.
if you frame it well.
Yes.
Yeah, that is, yeah, and also too, that's the crafting with care bit. Like if you can do it in such a way that you have the massive clarity around it, then the person who's on the receiving end of your message is going to be like, I got it. And also too, because we live in an age of so much information, it's so important to be able to do that so quickly and succinctly. So, mm-hmm. yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of competition out there, right? There are a lot of people doing what we do or whatever industry that is. So to be able to have it land and have it land quickly, that's really important.
Yeah. Awesome. Have it land quickly, speak to the problem, and then people will be like, okay, I want to work with her specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah. And, you know, one of the best compliments I've ever had is I gave a public talk once and then it was came back from a third party, actually, that somebody else had said to this woman, I want what she's got, right? And again, because for me, that was just confirmation of the energetic frequency, which is a perfect segue here, right, to talk about the woo-woo.
I know. I love the woo.
Exactly. Me too, right? Energetic frequency and vibration and how important that is in your marketing message.
Yeah. So I really wish that somebody explained to me what quantum physics was when I was little and physics, because I love it. It is so amazing. So I'm not a scientist, and I got it like bad grades in school, but we're atoms, right? Mm-hmm. And atoms have frequency. And if you think of like little atoms, they're just kind of like moving around, right? They're just kind of shaking around.
Yeah.
And I think it's when you're really excited and you're happy, your atoms are moving at a faster rate. And when you're sluggish and depressed, it moves at a slower rate.
Mm-hmm.
We've all met those people, and it's maybe us, has been us, where we've walked into a room and all eyes are on us or all eyes are on them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, whoa, what do they have? What's that magnetism? What is, you know, I'm just drawn to them. And it's that frequency and it, that energy. And frequency and energy is not necessarily a woo-woo thing. I want to read this quote to you from good old Albert Einstein, you know? Let me find it 1 second. It's coming up. It says, everything is energy. That's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but to get the reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics.
Yeah, drop the mic.
I know. He's the original magician.
Yeah, absolutely. The original alchemist, for sure.
He was the original alchemist. And I just love that he talks about this vibration and this energy, because we're not expected to be high vibe all the time, but if you can show up in an energetic way, you will be able to attract things. So I want to give you an example. I was maybe 23, and I was going to a casting for a commercial because somebody told me about it. And I never really wanted to be a model and never really wanted to be an actress. I don't know why. I just never did. But I decided to go to this audition, and I walked up the stairs, and before I walked up the stairs, I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn my light on. I'm going to turn my energy on. And this is way before I knew about the law of attraction and all that. For some reason, I intuitively picked it up and was like, I'm going to turn it on. So I turned on my light. I turned on my energy, and I went to the casting director. I shook her hand with confidence. I said my name, and I was so happy and just very energetic with her. And at the end of it, I didn't get the casting, which was fine because it's not something I wanted. But afterwards, she was like, you know, I really liked your energy, and I liked who you are and how you showed up. Would you ever be interested in working behind the scenes, behind the camera, on the other side? And I was actually like, because my minor was television and film. And I said, actually, yes, I would love to do that. So here I am, I think 23 or 21, and I just landed a television commercial position. I hadn't even graduated from college, and I was making more money than most of my classmates. And I was going to LA and filming and Palm Springs and being on all these amazing sets just because I decided to turn my vibration on for 5 minutes.
Yay. So what else is possible from there, right? That's so cool though, right? Because it's also it's like a direct confirmation, boom, boom, like that. Like you had the conscious thought process, you did it, and then you got that direct and immediate result. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was. It was fun.
I have a question, and kind of in connection to that, though, which is if you are, you know, if you're a newbie, if you're a beginner entrepreneur, and you're not feeling the vibes, like, what do you recommend to people in that circumstance? Because one of the things that I hear often is procrastination, right? That I'm not feeling great, so, or I'm not in the right vibration, or I'm not going to do it today, right? I'm not going to shoot that video. And I mean, I've done it before myself, right? Where I'm like, oh, I'm not quite in the right mood, so I'm going to put it off. And this can absolutely impact our bottom line, right? So what would you say to somebody who's kind of struggling to get into that space?
Yeah, so procrastination sometimes can be an indicator that you don't want to do it mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And meaning like that's not even something that's in alignment. I don't want you people to use it as an excuse, but sometimes, you know, you procrastinate because you really don't want to do that thing. And mm-hmm. that's actually okay because mm-hmm. that means that you just don't do it. Mm-hmm. But because I've learned that before where I was like, I kept procrastinating on something and I'm like, wait, maybe I just don't even want to do it. But with videos and with content and being out there and being visible, I've heard this beautiful saying, an expert can take a break one time. So you can give yourself a break or like skip out on something one time, but they never miss a second day. So the second mm-hmm. day is just as important.
Yeah, the ability to show up and to do it anyway often, right? You know, I did a Facebook Live this morning and I was really surprised because, you know, it's to my tribe and I do that on a regular basis, but I was really nervous. So, but again, they're feeling the fear and doing it anyway, which is, you know, again, when you've worked with your community for, you know, it's been years now, and to show up on a Facebook Live and still feel nervous. So, it's fascinating, but the ability to do it anyway. What about somebody who's really looking to try and increase their vibration? Like, what would you say to them?
Yeah. So, a lesson that I've definitely had this year was to increase your vibration, which is not going to be, it's not fun all the time, is to declutter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And by decluttering, like getting rid of your clothes. And I'm laughing because in July, I laugh now, right? In July, my whole house flooded and I lost everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I basically lost it all. So the universe decluttered for me. So I tell people.
Thank you, universe.
I know that universe. I tell people, please declutter or the universe will do it for you.
Yeah, that's powerful. I see on Netflix, I'm not quite sure if you guys have the same schedule as us, but Marie Kondo and her magic art of tidying up. I think there's a series that's just come out and I was like, oh, I want to watch that. And then, of course, you know, you see people and they're just clutter bugs and you're just like, oh, wow, I need to give myself a pat on the back because I'm nowhere near that bad.
Yeah, definitely. And another technique for for vibration and mm-hmm. increasing it is breathing, meditation, and dancing. Mm-hmm. I love mm-hmm. dancing and I love going to dance class. And I know that when I go to dance class, I attract more miracles. So I pay
nice.
Money to go to a dance class.
Yeah, absolutely. To move. To shift and move.
To shift and move, yeah. To shift and to have fun and to connect and to be increase your vibe. But really to increase your vibe and your vibration, it really comes down to what you like to do. Mm-hmm. There's going to be so many techniques, but if you don't like doing them, then you're not going to increase your vibe. Make sure you focus on what you like.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is about giving yourself permission. I know when mm-hmm. I left the banking industry and went into coaching, and I realized that I was making it stressful, and I would get messages from my intuition to go play. And then I would be like, what? I've got all this work to do. But of course, you know, the idea was to go shift your vibration and then come back to the work because then it will be so much more fun, more pleasant, more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but giving yourself permission to get up away from the desk and to go do that.
Oh, I know. In the very beginning, you think you have to do everything, but it's like, no, you have to work on your vibration too.
Yeah, just to be, you know, all this multitasking, right? So what's some words of encouragement? I mean, this personality focus is amazing, and obviously knowing the brand archetypes and be able to put some structure in place and obviously the vibration. But I guess a big part of this is kind of getting to know yourself and what it is that you like and love, and being prepared to share that with other people. So if somebody's kind of like yourself feeling shy or feeling reserved or feeling fearful, because I know a big thing for a lot of entrepreneurs is like, oh, crumbs, doing a Facebook Live, I'm going to be judged or criticized. Or so they have fear about sharing themselves. They feel like they're putting themselves in center stage. So therefore, maybe they're going to become a target. What would you say to people in that situation?
Yeah, it's a really big problem that I'm seeing with a lot of people. I was surveying a Facebook group and asking why people don't want to be visible. And a lot of it's like straight up fear, like they fear they're going to die. And I had to remind myself, I felt that too, like a couple years ago, where you feel like you're going to die if you do that live, or you're going to die if you tell people you have a business, or you just feel like something is going to happen because you are putting yourself out there and being that and being vulnerable and being open to criticism. And that's where it gets fearful. But what has really helped me is the book The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. I love that book. Like, don't make assumptions and don't take anything personally. That's really helped me, because in the end, like, we're all going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. So if you get to the end, it's such a Scorpio thing to do. We're all going to die. So if you're going to die, if you're going to get to the end of your life and you didn't achieve the thing that you wanted to achieve, how are you going to feel at the end of that? And that's usually what pushes me forward to make myself uncomfortable. Like, I have a really conservative brother-in-law that I don't like him seeing my stuff, because every time I see him in person, he always makes fun of me or says something. But now I've built the confidence where when he says something, I just go, huh, okay. Like, I just brush him off now. But that wasn't the case a few months ago even.
Yeah. And I would, you know, I'd go so far as to do a reframe and say that he's your greatest supporter on the downside, right? In the respect that when we have people like that in our life, it's almost like we can go, I'm going to show you, you know, like to help us to step into that space of kind of owning it a little bit more. So
you're so enlightened. I love it, Rebecca.
Well, to choose to see it that way, right? To kind of go, I'm not going to let anybody stop me, right? I'm going to be in that space where I'm going to go deep into my niche. Now, that is a great question, because how did you niche? Like, out of all the things, did you just choose the thing that you loved the most, that you felt the most passionate about? Like, because that can be a really hard process for people.
No, niching took forever. I've been trying to have a business. I was saying in the beginning, I was trying to have a business since 2013 and it's 2019 now. And it wasn't until like till I hired a mentor and a coach 2 years ago that I was able to really go forward. And since I've hired a coach and I've moved forward, as I've actually shifted more towards what is that makes me more happy and what is it that I like and what is it that people will pay for, because honestly, this is a business too. Like, we got to make money. And when I found out that people were paying people top dollar for clarifying their message, I was like, what? I can do that in my sleep. I'm so good at it. I've been doing it for like 5-6 years because I've been trying to clarify my message. And then I came up with a system and a framework. I'm like, wow, this is so easy, because honestly, it took some self-discovery, and it's most of the time the thing that comes very easily to you. That feels effortless. And that's when it feels, because it feels effortless, you're like, oh, I shouldn't be compensated for this. But it's like, no, you should. And it wasn't a pretty journey, but I'm here.
Yeah.
and they will be there too.
Yeah. I appreciate that too, though, because, you know, you've got to, the struggle is real, right? And you've got to acknowledge it. But also too, realizing that often that struggle is crafting you for greatness. It's setting you up to be in exactly the right place that you need to be to have it all come together. Because if you hadn't struggled with your own message, you can't really help other people with that. because it's frame of reference and empathy and understanding that if somebody is struggling with it, that they know that you've been there. I think that's really important. So, and also kind of probably part of, you know, your soul mission, right? That's what your soul wanted to experience, so you can help other people on that deeper level.
Yeah. Mm. It was a lot of times asking myself, which I always think of this question to ask yourself constantly, is like, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Mm-hmm. It's a simple question, but it's actually pretty hard because you put titles on yourself, but at the core, you're not that title. So constantly, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And unlocking your message, unlocking the voice, releasing the thing that's within you that you're helping people, it's like, you know, you need the key to unlock it. Like, you can't just pop it open. It's going to take time. And that's because work is required for you to figure out what your real niche is and who you want to serve and how you want to show up. But once you get to the other end, it is really beautiful.
Yeah. And the only way out is through too, because I think often too, people go into fearfulness and they go, well, I don't have time to figure this out because I need to make money. Right. But yeah, it's not going to be sustainable if you don't. So you really need to know yourself well to be in business and to be in business successfully. You need to be able to identify your weaknesses, etc. So mm-hmm. and so tell me about, you know, when you work with a client, what's the process and what happens? You know, like what happens for their sense of clarity in regards to what happens in their business? Like, tell us about some of the people that you've worked with before and what the process has been.
Yeah, so I worked with this one lady. She was one of those people that was like a life coach, a light worker, a feng shui person. Mm-hmm. She did what else? She did so many things. And I remember one time she was telling me all the things she did, and I was like, "Hey, I'm rolling my eyes. I'm rolling my eyes at you now because it's like you've lost me." Mm-hmm. And so we were like, "Okay, so what's the framework?" And we had to get first, number one was clarity. Then we had to clean it up. And then we had to do some channeling. So I definitely can channel now. I don't know what happened, but I can channel now. It's pretty
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so I'm able to access like people's Akashic records and be able to channel mm-hmm. with them what's going on. And then we collect from there. And then we create it together. And then we call it out. So then they're able to embody it and see if it feels good. Because it has to feel good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing at the end of the day. Like, you want to be in business, but you want it to feel good. I think everybody has that premise at some place, right? Especially for if you're going to do it long term.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's really important.
It has to feel good. It's got to be fun, you know, mm-hmm. helping people. It's mm-hmm. got to be a great time. Mm-hmm. And you got to enjoy it because that's how you're going to sustain.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I want to give you an example of this woman. She was a light worker, coach, energy, and I had actually personally worked with her, and she's fabulous. She was able to get my energy really focused, really clear. She was able to calm me down. Like, I loved working with her. And so I really knew what she was all about. And in 10 minutes working with her, I gave her we got her title and her kind of her tagline per se. Mm-hmm. And it says, she's a manifestation and energy coach in mind, body, and home, from a disorganized living to a dream lifestyle.
Nice. Very succinct.
Yeah. Very succinct. Yeah. You know what she does.
Yeah. You know what you're getting. You with. Yeah. Absolutely. That is awesome. And how does that, because again, when they take that clarity out to their tribe, that must translate in regards to increased volumes of sales, et cetera, in regards to them stepping into that space. It's just like, wow, now I have this clarity and people understand what I do. Then they mm-hmm. can step into that.
Well, when she says things like from a disorganized living, mm-hmm. then her ideal client, because she works with A-type people, can be like, I'm a type, but I'm so disorganized right now and mm-hmm. it's driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. And I want to live a dream lifestyle. So then she was using the words that they say out of their mouth, mm-hmm. disorganized. Mm-hmm. Like, I mm-hmm. feel so unorganized, or my life's chaotic, or I have so many things and I'm just putting out fires left and right. So we were able to identify what is it that they want. to get from point A to point B.
And I tell you what, I wish somebody had told me that secret. Like, one of the biggest secrets is, if you want to be good at marketing, right, you need to go and talk to your clients and find out what language they're using about what it is that you do. So that was such a light bulb moment for me. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, because again, to be able to, like you just said, craft the message in their language, because that is mm-hmm. what's going to land for them. That was, yeah.
Just ask them and have them type it out for you or mm-hmm. post it, and you can use that copy.
Yeah, there you absolutely. Go. Done. Right? Because that is them talking to themselves, essentially, and you're the one providing the solution. So yeah, that is very cool. So last year you launched the Dream Tribe Academy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So last year, actually, I launched my Dream Tribe Academy / Mastermind. Mm-hmm. And it was a way for women to, it was a 6-month program to get women from this overwhelmed, I want to start a business, I don't know what the heck to do, to getting a really clear, profitable business mm-hmm. that, and the key point, profitable, because I've launched multiple businesses in my past and they were not profitable. Mm-hmm. So
right. Yeah.
From experience. And I'm actually changing it to 9 months because I've realized that people actually need a lot more help mm-hmm. in this part, mm-hmm. which is fine. It takes mm-hmm. a little bit longer, mm-hmm. but I did that, the Dream Tribe Mastermind, and it's just fabulous. I was helping them get that clarity and then be able to market with confidence and then be able to launch their offers and their products.
Yeah, that's the foundation of being in business, isn't it? Is crafting your message and getting out there and having it land and people uptaking that. So that's amazing.
Exactly.
So do you have plan? I presume you're going to launch that again this year at some stage?
Yes, it'll be open from February to March.
Okay, cool.
2019.
Awesome. And how can people get hold of you and connect with you? How does it work in regards to connecting?
Yeah, so they can go to my website. It's stephanielane.net, or they can connect with me. My favorite place right now is Instagram. Mm-hmm. So at stephlane111. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly where I like to tell a lot of stories and like to give free advice and examples, and that's where people can definitely connect with me there.
And you offer one-on-one coaching as well, right?
I do. Yeah, mm-hmm. I only take 3 clients at a time. So right now I have 2, so I only have 1 mm-hmm. spot mm-hmm. because, like, I know my values and I don't want to be – last year I worked probably like with 5 or 6 private clients and I was like, this is too much, not mm-hmm, for me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'd rather I'm definitely a like work 20 hour a week kind of gal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you've got big plans at the moment. You're doing some traveling. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. So because we essentially – our house kind of blew up in July, we decided not to go back to a traditional housing, and why not take this time – to explore our country, the USA and mm-hmm. Canada. So my husband and I are starting a cross-country trip. We're going up to Sacramento, to Portland, to Vancouver. We're going all around the US for a year, and while keeping our businesses as well. And then we're going to start our own brand, Freedom Lane.
Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Isn't that cute? Freedom
That's
Lane.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it.
And the goal is to get on Netflix. That's the goal.
Awesome. Well, I am definitely rooting for you because, you know, I've seen your photography, I've seen your videos. Your husband, as obviously met him briefly as well, incredibly talented. And together, you know, you guys are going to sizzle. So I will definitely hold the space to see you on Netflix in 2020.
Yes, woo-hoo. Netflix 2020. I keep telling everyone, like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
So presumably you're going to be traveling across the country, shooting a lot of video, et cetera. What's your YouTube channel?
My YouTube channel, I don't.
Don't
honestly,
use so much?
We haven't set it up yet.
Okay,
so
cool. Okay.
We don't have it. But I'm sure it'll be the Freedom Lane or Freedom Lane.
And so then if people want to follow you in your trip, it's best to go to Instagram?
It's best to go to Instagram. Yeah, it's cool. At the Freedom Lane. That's it. You're so amazing. Yeah, I love the name.
You are going to have so much fun.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We're going to see the USA because I haven't seen not even half of it. So that's going to be cool to see all the places.
Okay, cool. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me today. It has just been such a pleasure, and you have shared so much valuable information. I know that the listeners will really appreciate it, especially those who are self-employed. So anybody listening, please go ahead, follow Stephanie on Instagram and reach out to her to have a chat in regards to how you can craft your message with care. I really love that. Is there anything else that you would like to let people know, Stephanie? Any last words?
Yeah, with messaging, the most important thing is just focus on what makes you, I know it's cheesy, but like what makes you happy, but then also what makes you the most fulfilled when you help people. So that feeling of that fulfillment when you help people, so you could, that people will know, okay, she's the mindfulness coach. Oh, okay, she's the tax person that works with B corporations, or they're able to classify you and put you in a place in their head and their brain, because that's how our brain stores things. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody comes to them and they have a specific tax problem for entrepreneurs, you can be able to refer them business.
Sure. Okay. Get the sweet spot. I love that, what you said about the fulfillment, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. You know, exactly. Making money is a lot of fun, but that fulfillment is worth the money a million times over. So I love it. Thank you so much, lovely lady. I really appreciate you. Thanks for being on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.